Amen. Well, the title of our message tonight is The Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. Everyone say wisdom, revelation. Let's pray for the word before we get into it tonight. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal the word of God to us tonight. So we pray that you would speak what you want to speak into our lives and that it would take roots, that it would change us, that it would change the face of this church, that it would change our homes and our families. And we are thankful for the power that is in your word tonight, God. And so I pray that each one of us would receive it, that we would act upon it, oh God, and that your change and your glory would come to each one tonight. In your name we ask, amen. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." The Lord calls to every believer, and he says, whoever has ears. It seems like such an obvious thing. Everybody has ears. But he's speaking something a little bit deeper. He says, whoever is willing to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This phrase is spoken seven times in Revelation. It is a phrase that we are meant to pay special attention to. If you can hear what the Spirit is saying, then victory can be attained in your life. There is a principle of hearing that we need to apply to our lives, though, and it is the principle of action. After we hear what the Spirit is saying, there must be a response in our lives. There must be a response to what he is saying, that we would incline our ears to hear his word, but that we would then respond to his word, that we would apply our lives to change, to growth, that we would be victorious to receive the eternal crown of life. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to our main passage of text tonight, which is in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. And starting in verse 15, he says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." In Paul's prayer, he is revealing what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. And he prays for three main things in this passage. That if we can purpose our lives after these areas, we will be victorious. Number one tonight is eyes to see. Verse 17, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you a spirit of revelation so that you may know him better." When we hear the word revelation, it means the divine communication from God, speaking something to us, showing us something that we previously did not know. Revelation can be a new insight relating to his word, something we never noticed before, but the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. The revelation that comes from God, it is an awakening within us about his heart and his plan for our lives. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to awaken you tonight, to stir you tonight in the area of your revelation of him and his word? In the Old Testament, the instances by which God reveals himself are numerous. Through dreams and visions, through his prophets, through his commandments, through his creation, through his faithfulness and his provision. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. God has revealed himself in so many ways. It says that we are without excuse when it comes to our knowledge of him. He reveals himself to us so that we would know him and be strong in him. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. God reveals himself to his people that it would instill a trust, that it would instill an obedience, an awakening, not only within us, but within the generations that follow. Amos chapter 4, verse 13. He who forms the mountains, who creates the wind, and who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. God has been revealing himself since the beginning of creation. And I'd like to ask you tonight, how often do you receive the revelation of the Lord in your life? When was the last time you received a fresh revelation of who he is? Of his word and what he wants to do in your life. The divine revelation that will awaken us and that ought to change us, it only comes from the Spirit of God. May we be a people who pursue, who follow after, who seek after his revelation. Because when we receive the revelation of what he wants to speak to us, it is in those moments that it takes root. It is in those moments that it goes to the deepest places within us and it causes a fire and a passion to be sparked within us that we would know him and follow after him in a deeper way. We need to receive the revelation of the cross in order to be empowered by the cross. We need to receive a revelation of the power and the depth of his love in order to be empowered by his love. To love and to forgive others. How much revelation of the cross? How much revelation of his call for you and for your family have you received in your life tonight? You know, I am passionate for my children to always walk with the Lord all the days of their life. But I am aware that I cannot do all of the work to get them to that place. I can pray for them, I can teach them, I can guide them, but they need to receive their own personal revelation of the Holy Spirit, of the work and the power of Jesus for their lives. I cannot make the church receive the revelation of the power of Jesus and the power of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit for their lives. I cannot make the church worship Jesus with a greater abandonment and a greater passion that it would change them. I wish I could. But every single one of us, we need to receive a personal revelation of what the Lord wants to do, of who he is, of his power, and his call upon your life individually. The Apostle Paul prays that we would be a people who receive the spirit of revelation that we might know Christ better. How many would honestly say in your hearts tonight that you want or that you need to know Christ better? Can you say that tonight? Would you stir yourself in this tonight? Stir yourself up in your most holy zeal and a holy passion tonight and say, Jesus, I want to know you better. I need to know you better. We all need eyes to see him for who he is. That his fire and his passion would move us forward, would move his kingdom forward. This is the heart of this scripture, written by the divine inspiration of God himself. Number two tonight is ears to hear. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom so that you may know him better. In our passage, Paul combines the words revelation and wisdom together. And the reason for this is that it is not enough to just receive revelation. When we receive a spirit of revelation and this divine knowledge comes to us, it is too easy for us to be carried away by our emotions, by the feelings that are stirred within us. And so he partners this aspect of the wisdom of God. We need the spirit of the wisdom of God that comes from his word. And when we combine these two aspects, it is the word of God that brings substance to the revelation, that brings substance to the divine impartation that God is bringing to us, causes fruit to be produced. This word wisdom is a big word, comes from the Greek word sophia, and it is translated to mean several things, and I really wanted to share it with you tonight. The knowledge and practice of the requisites for godly and upright living, skill in the management of our daily living, devout and proper instruction in our interactions with those who were not disciples of Christ, skill and discretion in imparting Christian truth. This is what this word wisdom means for our lives, godly instruction. How to live, how to manage our daily living, how to interact with those who do not know Christ, how and when to impart the Christian truth. And godly wisdom is crucial and beneficial for all areas of our lives. And this guidance and this wisdom, it comes from the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. By hearing and reading the Word of God is how he is instructing us through his Word. We are reminded often in Scripture that it is the Word of God that we must build the foundations of our lives upon. And wisdom that is found in his Word, it is meant to change us. Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing we desire can compare with the wisdom and the truth that is found in God's Word. That is the heart of God for us to receive the revelation of what wisdom from his word means for our lives. He is looking for us to treat his wisdom, to treat his word as the most important treasure in our lives, that we would go to the word for every situation and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the ways of the Lord. Every decision, every choice, every heartache, every celebration, every question, that we would go to the Word and get wisdom through his Holy Spirit, that our cry actually would be to know the ways of the Lord, to understand the ways of the Lord, that our relationships, that our families would be saturated with God's thoughts and his ways, how you choose to run your business, how you choose to run your home, how you choose to treat others, where our focus and our priorities lie, they should all come back to the wisdom that is found in God's word. How will we choose? Because it is a choice. How will we choose to take on this level of commitment to the word of God? By the spirit of revelation. They go hand in hand for our lives. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and reveals the work of Jesus to you, when the Holy Spirit comes and reveals the work and the power of the cross for your life, when he comes and reveals your sin and your eternity, it should cause us to run to the Word of God. It should cause us to run passionately after his ways and his words to see what he has to say for our lives and how we ought to live. It should cause a holy fear and a holy reverence and a gratitude within our lives that causes us to run to his word for everything. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, it says people cast off restraint, or they do whatever they want. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. We need the revelation from his Holy Spirit. And we need the wisdom from his Holy Spirit to grow in the knowledge of the revelation and to obey the word of the Lord. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools don't get the power of the Word of God. It is unwise to treat the Word with apathy, to treat the Word as though it has no power in your life. That is unwise, and that is dangerous for our lives as Christians. When we fear and revere the Lord, we will look to Him before we act. Everything we do, it will be related to His Word and what He says about our situations and how we are to live day to day. Proverbs 2, 1 to 14. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Proverbs 4, verse 6, do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you and watch over you. God is ready to protect us. He is ready to watch over us. He is ready to help us in our godly living, and it comes through His Word. The spirit of wisdom, having ears to hear, means that we should go to the Word for every decision, for every situation that we find ourselves. When you are asked a question regarding relationships, when you are asked a question about eternity or sickness, go to the Word. When you are wondering why a relationship hasn't changed, why a person is treating you the way they are, you go to the Word. When you are wondering why your prayers have not been answered, go to the Word on how to pray and how to surrender your will to God's will. How to trust in His ways and His thoughts and what He wants to do. And you will see in the Word that God calls us to surrender our desires, that God calls us to pray in a certain manner, and He calls us to not give up, to believe that He does incline His ear to all of our prayers. Isaiah 55, 9 to 11. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7 says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. When we are looking for answers, the Lord calls us to go to Him. The Lord calls us to go to His Word, to ask for His Holy Spirit to guide us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, it says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And you know, it is true that our ears want to hear what we want to hear sometimes. The world and other people, they will have their own answers. They will have their own wisdom. They will have their own reasons and their own doctrine of what is accurate. And you know, your feelings and your emotions, they can misguide you from God's path, from His ways. The Lord urges us against this, and He says, don't look for the answer that you want to hear. Do not be misguided by your own thoughts and your own plans, but rather trust the Lord. Surrender to His ways, and He will never lead you astray. James 3:17, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, and sincere. Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is living and active for our lives. It is living. It is actively working in our lives to produce the results of God. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. May we have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. Saturate. Soak your life with the Word of God. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom as you read His Word. And number three tonight, hearts that are ready to respond. After Paul prays that the believers would have a spirit of revelation and wisdom, he goes on in verses 18 to 19. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The Holy Spirit is saying to the churches to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are ready to respond to what the Lord wants to do. How is it that we are to respond to the Lord in our lives? I'm glad you asked. The first way is by being doers of the word. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. He was referring to the parable of the sower. And perhaps we're all familiar with the story of how the farmer went out to scatter his seed. And it talks about the different paths, the different types of soil that he scattered his seed upon. And he says, some of the seed fell along the path, but the birds, they quickly came and they ate it up. Some of the seed fell upon the rocky places where there wasn't very much soil. And when it tried to grow, it began to wither and die because of the heat of the sun, and there wasn't much root there for it to survive. And then he goes on to say that some of the seed was scattered amongst the thorns, and when it tried to grow, the weeds and the thorns choked it so that it died. But then some of the seed fell on good soil, and the seed that fell on good soil, it grew. It produced an abundant crop. It multiplied greatly in its fruits. Jesus is teaching the people here that the seed sown is the Word of God. And the type of soil that it falls upon it is related to the condition of our hearts. When we hear the Word, do we respond to the Word? Do we let it take root deeply? Do we let it grow within us? Do we allow it to change us, to cause us to reflect Him in a greater way? We can hear the Word of God, but we have a responsibility to have hearts that are ready to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying through His Word. In verse 20 of Mark chapter 4, it says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the Word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and accept it and bear fruit. Let him understand the word of the Lord and apply it to his life for every situation. James 1, 21 to 22. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The Lord is looking for hearts that are ready to respond to what he wants to do in his church and in our lives. We can have the spirit of revelation. We can have the spirit of wisdom. But then we must have hearts that are ready to respond, that are ready to apply the word, that are ready to apply the work of the Holy Spirit to our lives. You know, we often look at our situations and we ask the Lord to change the situation. We ask the Lord to change the hearts and the minds of those that are around us. When we don't understand why something is happening, when we don't understand why someone isn't doing what we want them to do, this can become our prayer. Lord, change them. Reveal to them the error of their ways. And sometimes that's true. But you know, there are times when the Lord really wants to change us. He wants to change our hearts. He wants to change our perspectives. Sometimes our attitudes. It is true tonight that we already have enough knowledge to change the spiritual atmosphere around us. We already have enough knowledge, church, to make a huge impact in people's lives around us. We've heard the messages. We've received the revelations. We've read the word. We have the tools. But will we allow God to change us if it's required to cause this impact to happen? May we have hearts that are ready to respond to whatever God wants to do within us. Ephesians 3:19, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is what he desires to do within the lives of all of his believers, to fill us with the fullness of the power of his Holy Spirit. But do you need to empty your hearts? Do you need to empty your life of something so that he can come and fill you? May we be courageous enough to say, change me. Let me hear what you are saying, not what I want to see happen. Proverbs 23, verse 12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. And in closing tonight, I really have been stirred these last couple of weeks with the phrase that probably most of you have heard that says, living on the edge of heaven. And what this means for our everyday lives. The word gives us a beautiful and glorious picture of what heaven looks like, and I'm so thankful for that. In Revelation chapter 5, it describes Jesus in the throne room of heaven, depicted as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, shown to us as the Lamb who was slain, surrounded by the fullness of his Holy Spirit and the ministers of worship unto him. And in a loud voice, the ministers of the Lord, they are singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wisdom and strength and honor. To him who sits on the throne be praise and glory and power forever and ever. The ministers of the Lord, day and night, they never stop worshiping the Lord. They lay their crowns down before him. They bow down before him and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. This image of heaven, it shows us our Lord who is worthy, who is victorious, who has won the victory over every trial that we will ever face in our lives. There is unending worship. There is a fullness of his glory and his presence and a fullness of his Holy Spirit. And he calls us to draw near to the edge of heaven, to live in the fullness of his glory, to live in the fullness of his Holy Spirit, not just a drop, not just as in the glory of days that have gone by in your life, but today, right now, tomorrow, in the days to come, that no matter what you face, he says, draw near to heaven, draw near to the fullness of my Holy Spirit, to the fullness of his glory. He calls us to live our lives a little bit more heaven-minded, to live our lives with eternity in our mind. We spend too much of our days and our energy focused on the earthly realm, on the little disagreements and the conflicts that do not matter in the light of eternity. They don't matter. There are those who are plagued with overwhelming fear. And although the fear, it is real for some, I'm not diminishing the reality and the severity of situations and things that are happening all around us. He calls us to live our lives according to the hope that is within him. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. To the one who is victorious, he says, I will give the right to eat of the tree of life. If we live with eternity in our minds a little bit more, within our hearts, it'll change our perspective on earth. It'll change our words, our focus, our actions. He calls us to a response in our lives, and it is not a response of fear. It is not a response of helplessness, of weariness, of depression, but rather he calls us to respond to the hope and the power that we have in him and his Holy Spirit. After Paul prays that we receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation, he calls us to respond to the revelation of Christ and to respond to the word that has been planted within us. He says in verses 18 to 23, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, it is the same power that is within us. It is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. And God placed all things under his feet. Come on, he placed every trial. He placed every darkness and every depression and every lie, every deceiving spirit under the feet of Jesus. He appointed him to be head over the church, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We are called to respond to the darkness with the hope to which he has called us. We are called to respond to the sickness with the hope to which he has called us. We are called to respond to the discouragement with the hope to which he has called us. We respond to fear and to anxiety and to trials with his incomparably great power for us who believe. May we have hearts that are ready to respond to what the Spirit is saying to his churches by being doers of his word, by living according to eternity and to the hope that he has called us to, with the incomparably great power that is within us. Let's stand together tonight. Would you open your heart to the Lord, and would you ask him to help you to be a little bit more heaven-minded and eternity-minded tonight? Help you to walk in the power of his Holy Spirit. I want to close by reading these verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May we live our days on the edge of heaven. May we live our days in light of eternity. May we have eyes to see tonight, ears to hear tonight, and hearts that are ready to respond with the hope to which he has called us and with the incomparably great power for us who believe. Let's worship the Lord tonight. As we worship tonight, if you need prayer for anything, we would love to encourage you. We would love to lay our hands on you and believe with you that God would come and strengthen you, that God would come and move in your life. The altars are always open, but where we are tonight, let's worship our God tonight, and let's really pray. Let's just take a moment tonight and ask the Holy Spirit, would you, where you're standing, forget about what's happening right now, forget about who is beside you. I really am asking that tonight you would respond, church, and that you would say, Holy Spirit, give me eyes to see. Holy Spirit, give me ears to hear, and give me a heart that is ready to respond to what you want to do tonight. Let's worship him.